Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another Wednesday evening episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. I am your host, Beam Weeks. This is episode number 120, and here to co-host with me is the one and only Stephen Jeeves. How is things down in Alabama tonight, Stephen Jeeves?
Cold. Actually cold. I had my crickets that I feed my frogs out on the deck, and they got too cold, so I had to go buy more crickets today.
And how are you in Michigan? Jacket? Buy the crickets some jackets? Doing pretty good. We had some snow yesterday, and we were under a snow advisory for tomorrow and Friday. Got a pretty good, a couple inches yesterday, and it melted by this afternoon. But it's that time of year. I don't like the snow. It's nice to look at for a minute, and then it's like, all right, let's get back to June, July.
Yeah. Well, I've got a shout out for author C.S. Boyack, in case he's out there listening. He had recommended that I try pumpkin beer. Problem is, I live in Alabama, where you can't even necessarily buy beer in half the counties down here, and I couldn't find any. So I bought some in Nashville. Last night had my writer meeting in the Gunnersville Public Library, which, by the way, shout out to Gunnersville Public Library. They got a librarian there that's ultra cool. And she every month we go have our meeting, and she puts out trays of snacks and little cakes and stuff like that, and it opens a big bottle of wine. And everybody shares their work. And I usually don't drink the wine. I'll bring a soft drink, or sometimes I'll bring a bottle of beer. Last night I took my pumpkin beer with me so I could try it for the first time. And it was excellent. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks for the recommendation, Craig. And I do want to give some advice to anybody. If you are going to be in one of these writer groups where you're sharing your work and they open a big bottle of wine, go last, because everybody likes your stuff after that wine is almost gone.
I also want to
mention that my blog, which is stephengees.wordpress.com, but if you just go to stephengees.com, my author website, the blog is right there embedded on the homepage as well. Yesterday, I hosted Jan Sykes. She's released her new book, and she's also running a scavenger hunt on that too. So get over there, learn what that book is, why you want to read it, participate in the scavenger hunt, and make sure you like everything over there and leave a comment as well. That's stephengees.com, or if you want to go straight to the blog, stephengees.wordpress.com, and learn about the new book by Jan Sykes.
All right. Just a heads up for fans of the author P.F. Ford. He has a, quote, new release that's not a new release. His publisher re-released an older book with a new title. He's asking his fans to avoid the West Whale Murders second book in that series. The book is called A Body of Confusion, but it's been renamed A Body Out at Sea. And it's the same book. You're not getting a new book. So if you've already read A Body of Confusion, you don't want to go out and buy this. But if you haven't read A Body of Confusion, go out and buy it. So
there you go.
New to you.
Yeah, and not to put too fine a point on it, but here at Fresh Ink Group, we don't rename people's books, and without a conversation about it and everybody's agreement. And
everybody here owns their own books.
That's true.
So have to clear everything with them.
But Pete's not happy about that, and because he apparently wasn't consulted, and then when he objected, he was promised that it would be on the retailers saying that this is a repeat, and it's not.
They didn't
post that, and so he's out there trying to promote "Don't buy my book," and that's just a terrible situation for an indie author to be in. Now, here at Fresh Ink Group, many of you who have dealt with us, especially our authors and our members and stuff, have dealt with Lauren over the years. And we lost Lauren last week. She had to leave suddenly due to some personal issues. And so we're really scrambling this week. We're, you know, trying to cover things and fill in holes and stuff like that. And one of them is I hired a person today who's going to take over doing all of our royalty reporting. We're going to upgrade our system, start doing some things new ways. We're going to reissue all of our royalties for this year. And we're going to make author Robert G. Williscroft happy with the kind of interactive spreadsheet style that he likes to see his royalties in. Everybody's going to start getting those. So if you're a Fresh Ink Group member author and, you know, you're wondering what's going on or you've been trying to get a hold of Lauren, just go ahead and get a hold of any of us and look for something to start changing in the coming weeks. But we want to welcome Brenna Sanford to the team, and she's fantastic. She knows her stuff. She impressed me really fast. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. Speaking of Robert G. Williscroft, we want to say congratulations to him on a successful appearance at Colorado Country Christmas Show in Denver over the last weekend. He and 24 other Colorado Author League members shared 8 tables and picked up some new fans. Robert sold more than $1,200 worth of his books there, and it's, by the sounds of it, it was a pretty big success for everybody involved. So congratulations to Robert G. Williscroft and those other authors. And I want to throw this in before I forget. Verwan Greenho is over here on Twitter, and he is promoting a trailer, the trailer for Finding Myself Again, as voiced by my partner of 24 years who passed of COVID, with fresh graphics by my friends at Fresh Ink Group. I have 3 promo codes for the Audible for USA listeners and 10 for UK listeners. Drop a note below if you want one. So get over to Twitter. It's his tweet. You'll see it there. Use the hashtag Fresh Ink Group to find this Twitter feed here, and let them know you want one of those codes. Hey, it's free. Who doesn't like free?
I wish I'd seen this a little bit sooner. I might have been one of the first in there. The thing that Robert Williscroft did this last weekend, we encourage all of our authors to do that. We encourage all of you indie authors out there, whether you publish with us or not, get out there and be visible, you know, make yourself known. In this case, it was a Christmas show and had vendors out there selling everything from Christmas trees to whatever. But, I mean, you know, you can't argue with more than $1,200 in sales. And and Robert's kind of shameless about that. We like that. They were sharing a table when it wasn't his turn at the table. He was out there carny barking in the aisles and still pulling people in. So if you go to the Fresh Ink Group newsletter, you'll see that each week we've been posting his schedule. He's got more appearances coming up in the coming weeks as well. So if you're anywhere near Colorado and you want to see what it looks like when a very determined author is carny barking in order to pull people in, find new fans, and sell some books, that's a lot of fun. All right, we got another big announcement here. Many of you are aware that we published the memoir by Mark Herndon, who spent almost 3 decades as the drummer for the super country group Alabama. Now, Alabama's had some bad news in the last couple of weeks because their original member, the guitar player Jeff Cook, passed away apparently from Parkinson's disease. Jeff lived just 4 miles from me right here in Gunnersville, Alabama, and was very well loved around town, was known for helping fund youth programs. And they've got he built a pavilion out here that they do little concerts in and things like that. So Jeff was a good community supporter, a good man about town, and from what I hear, a good man. So we hate to see that happen. But the good news is Mark Herndon, their drummer, whose memoir we published, in case you didn't hear me say that a minute ago, he just learned last night. I was on the phone with him and his wife, country music star Leah Seabright, and they were just giddy about the fact that the South Carolina Music Hall of Fame has announced that in January they are inducting him and giving him a Lifetime Achievement Award. That's going to be January 21st at the Hard Rock Cafe in Myrtle Beach. Now, this is especially poignant because Myrtle Beach is where Mark got his start in the music business. He was playing with local bands, playing drums, and just, you know, any place that he could play and anybody he could play with, having a good time. And that's when he got discovered by the cousins from Alabama and recruited to be part of that super group. Now, that was a relationship that – go ahead.
And the interesting thing is he played in a lot of rock and metal bands back in the day, and ended up in one of the biggest country bands ever.
And to this day, music experts will tell you that he was a key component in their success because he brought a rock sensibility and a rock backbeat to their work, and that made it get a little bit more of a fusion, kind of a country rock fusion, which appealed to a lot more fans.
Their Wikipedia page even says that he's the guy that gave him that sound.
Now, his memoir details how that relationship went. For 26 years, they were successful, and then they did a farewell tour, and then they fired him and sued him and basically treated him like dirt. And he wrote all about that stuff and put it in his memoir, but he took the high road. He's not pointing fingers, trying to put blame on other people, and he also takes some responsibility for the mistakes he made as well. So that memoir, The High Road, Memories of a Long Trip, is just a cool little thing. And congratulations to Mark. If anybody happens to be around Myrtle Beach in January, you'd like to go see that because, give us a shout out and, we might put a bug in their ear and make sure that you could go meet Mark or take a copy of his book with you and get it autographed.
Yeah. Now, before I share with how you guys can call you, everybody out there, you listeners can call in or get on Twitter. We do have another tweet here I want to get to before we get too past the subject. Jan Sykes is listening tonight, and she says, pumpkin beer. What fun, Stephen G's and Craig Boyack. And thank you for the shout-out about Saddled Hearts Blog Tour. Yeah.
Oh, she gave away the title.
Okay, so if you have a question or comment and you want to have it read on the air, Jan and Verwaine just did, or if you want to call in, if you have a question or a comment for tonight's guest, you can do that on Twitter or call in, and here's how you can do all that good stuff.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet, and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Woo-hoo. Now, just about the time you hit the play button on that on Twitter, C.S. Boyack popped up with attaboy, Stephen, and he's got a jack-o'-lantern emoji and a beer emoji. So there you go. We've also got another comment from Verwaine Greenhoe. He says he signed up to do 3 shows in the Live Oak, Florida area in the next 3 months. That's the way to work it, Verwaine. Get out there. That's how you find
definitely.
A fan.
Cool.
Now, we've got more announcements. We've got Larry Jorgensen was a guest on the show about a month ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And we were talking about his book, Shipwrecked and Rescued, Cars and Crew, which was the story about in the 1920s, Walter P. Chrysler was trying to send 340 cars to Canada. And the ship they were on in Lake Superior, north of Michigan, foundered, wound up on a shoal in an ice storm, and they had to do some miraculous rescue of the crew, and they left the cars on the ship. So Walter P. Chrysler commissioned some people to go up there and rescue his cars. And how that turned out is a fascinating story. And Larry Jorgensen put all that together with a whole lot of historical photos and interviews with people, and not people who are actually there, but people who know the story up there in the Keweenaw Peninsula. And he self-published that book and then went on a book tour and was just hand-selling it. And he decided he'd like to be part of Fresh Ink Group. So we have reissued that book, Shipwrecked and Rescued. And it is now in pre-sale for a release for next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, when it will officially be out. Now, I have to give you the usual disclaimer. Some of the retailers are not showing the cover. Amazon's showing this ebook cover, but not the hard and soft cover. Barnes & Noble's showing the ebook and soft cover, but they're not showing the hardcover cover. The books are there. You can order them. You just can't see the cover on some of the editions that you click on. And we're doing another rebroadcast on that, which I absolutely hate to do. That's where we send out all the data again, because what that does is disrupt all the retailers that do get it right, because Amazon seems never to get it right anymore. But that's Shipwrecked and Rescued. It is in pre-sale now. It's a fascinating book, hardcover, softcover, ebook, and it's available at all the retailers. Whether you can actually see the cover or not, get out there and place your order now. We also talked to Larry again just before the show, and he's made the decision that he wants us to republish the other two books he talked about, while he was on the show, The Coca-Cola Trail and Return to the Coca-Cola Trail, which are very popular books. And I know most people have heard of Coca-Cola, and it's the story behind that. And it's a lot of things that you think you knew but didn't know. So that's pretty cool, too. And Larry was also clear that his work in progress right now, he's bringing that to us as well. So welcome to the team, Larry Jorgensen, and we want to see you have some success with Shipwrecked and Rescued.
Yeah. And Ellie Collins, our young author who wrote the Greek mythology series, we've done audiobooks for each of her books. And the most recent is Mad Max and Sweet Sarah. That audiobook is up now and available for $6.08, $6.08, or join Audible and get a freebie. So get over there and support this young author. If you've got young readers, then we're talking, you know, 8 to 16, 17. This is in that age range. The kids will love this stuff. It's entertaining and compelling, and yeah, she's a good writer.
Now, would that just be a typical boring audio book where somebody talks, or is there more going on there?
No, right? No. We have a young man, Ethan Drew, who is an actor, and he just wrapped a movie with Chris Lloyd from Taxi fame and many other things, Back to the Future. This kid is a talented voiceover artist as well as an actor, and he brings a lot to the table with that, the whole emotional inflections and things that he does with the reading of that. And there's sound effects, and there's some cool music to show you where the scene breaks are at. And, you know, we do a lot of auditory souped-up stuff, so check it out. Not typical at all.
Yeah, and any other Freshening Group audiobooks, like especially the ones we do for Robert G. Williscroft, same thing. Music, sound effects, scratch and sniff, you name it, we try to put it in there. Get over and check those out, too. We got a bunch of new stuff coming up. We're publishing the instructor's editions of How to Teach Driving this week, and we're looking to have the parent's edition out by next week. That's by Kenneth Lindquist, and he's booked to be on the show about a month from now, I believe. Those of you who are familiar with the children's book, Sassy Discovers the AME Church, the second installment in that series, Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret. We're looking to have that out in a couple of weeks, probably right after Thanksgiving. Carlisle Toms, who's been a guest on this show, his book, The Calling Dream. We're looking to have that out right after Thanksgiving. And we've got several more. We've got a Daddy Yo-Yo book, the Food Truck series, the Tennessee edition is going to be coming out. There's just too many here for me to try to name, but we're really hustling, trying to get a bunch of these things out before Christmas, which means it was a real good time to lose a key staff member and be trying to do 15 jobs at once. But hey, we're used to not sleeping here at Fresh Ink Group. So what else is going on with audiobooks, Beam?
Audiobooks, Girl Wears Those Shoes, that audiobook by Jenny Wong, that is up and available. It's go over to Amazon and grab your copy. It's another one that we added the music and the sound effects. And Vivian Ahn, she's another fantastic voiceover artist. She did the reading of that one. And like I said, it's available. So get over to Amazon or wherever you like to buy your audiobooks and grab a copy.
Yeah, we're fans of Vivian Ahn now. She's an Asian-American actress living in L.A., and you go to her IMDb page, she's got a whole bunch of cool credits. So we're going after the movie stars now to do our audiobooks. So we're still trying to get De Niro to call us back, but we're working on him.
All right. So, you know, Stephen just read the whole list of books that are coming out and all that. If you want to know when and where you can get these books, and you want to know who's going to be on next week's episode or of this podcast or anything that's going on in the Fresh Ink Group world, here's how you can sign up for our newsletter.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a tradition now of reading what our top five Fresh Ink Group print bestsellers have been the last couple of days. And when I pasted this in here yesterday, number one was Submariner, 30 years of hijinks, keeping the fleet afloat. And that's coming off of retired Naval Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate having made some appearances in North Carolina and really stirring up a lot of interest in his book. And then we had alternating The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by drummer Mark Herndon. And in third place, Sassy Discovers the AME Church. In fourth place, the hardcover of The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by drummer Mark Herndon. And in fifth place, we had Sassy Discovers the AME Church hardcover edition. So they went back and forth on those, both the hardcovers and the softcovers. And I got to tell you, we're surprised lately about how well hardcovers are really doing compared to the softcovers. And sometimes they're outselling them. But anyway, that's what the list was yesterday, Submariner and then alternating with The High Road and Sassy. I'm looking at the list right now, and apparently word has leaked out since they found out last night that Mark was going to be inducted into the South Carolina Music Hall of Fame, because The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip is now in number one, and it has jumped way, way, way up. I mean, like 10 times Submariner's numbers already just overnight. So, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. It's a fascinating book, people, and it's got all the good stories and stuff if you want to see what it was like to live that life. But, so right now, The High Road is in number one slot. That pushed Submariner down to number two. The High Road is in the number three slot, too. So the hardcover is grabbing that number three slot, and that pushed Sassy down. So number four and five are both Sassy Discovers the AME Church. So a little bit of shuffling here. And right now, Mark Herndon's getting the most attention. So go, Mark. And again,
yeah,
congratulations.
All right. Just a little announcement. Fresh Ink Group signed a new author, Steve Skibicki, out of Indiana. He has a poetry collection called American Darkness. It's poetry and prose about finding a path out of depression and more. And this, you know, these are the kind of books that tend to comfort and soothe people, you know, settle the darkness that a lot of people are dealing with. And Steve is a talented writer, so
he is.
That newsletter, subscribe to that newsletter, and you'll find out when, you know, keep up to date when this one's going to be out.
Yeah, he's putting the final touches on the manuscript right now, so it's probably going to be about 3 or 4 weeks before we actually start working on it. But an interesting thing here is every poem and every story in there is going to have an image that goes with it, which we often do with poetry books or short story books or whatever. The difference is he's doing AI-generated images, artificial intelligence, and he's doing them all himself and generating some very cool things. So this will be the first time we've published a book full of artificial intelligence images as well. So welcome to Fresh Ink Group, Steve. So, Beam, what do people do if they miss a show?
If they miss the show, or there's just an episode that was a favorite and they want to hear it again, we have an archive. Several places you can find it, and here's how.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indie Archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indie, all one word.
All right. Now, before we bring in today's guest, we're going to go ahead and play our first commercial. This is a world premiere, and the author, Larry Jorgensen, hasn't even heard it yet, but this is for the book we just talked about, Shipwrecked and Rescued.
More than 6,000 shipwrecks have been recorded on the Great Lakes, but only one offers a true life adventure, like the 1926 rescue of the city of Bangor off the Keweenaw Peninsula in Upper Michigan. A fierce November storm tossed the ship with a crew of 23 and 240 new Chrysler automobiles onto a Lake Superior reef. For the first time, Shipwrecked and Rescued, Cars and Crew tells the near-tragic story of the deep snow and near-zero temperatures. Journalist and historian Larry Jorgensen's detailed research and collection of historical photos chronicles what happened, introduces the key players, and finally reveals the fate of those collector's prizes in the century since. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Shipwrecked and Rescued is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats.
Yeah, that's in pre-sale right now. It's going to be released the day before Thanksgiving. Get over there and place your order so you can help him run up sales on the release day and get that Amazon ranking that we like so much.
And we are working on a book trailer for this one as well, too. So keep your eyes on the newsletter.
Yep.
We'll let you know.
And with the exception of that, just about everything else that you're going to hear to tonight's show, there are videos over on YouTube that you're going to want to check out as well. Now, today's guest is one of my favorite writers, somebody that I've been looking forward to interviewing for a long time, and we finally managed to pin her down to a date. Stacy Troilo grew up in Western Pennsylvania writing stories and poetry in her free time, so it was no surprise that she studied writing in college. After receiving creative and professional writing degrees from Carnegie Mellon University, she went on to get her master's degree in professional writing, and she worked in corporate communications until she had her children. When they had grown, she went on to become a writing professor, and now she is a freelance writer and editor. Stacy is a multi-genre author. Her fiction is character-driven, and despite their protests, she loves to put them in all kinds of compromising or dangerous situations. Welcome to the show, Stacy.
Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here tonight.
Now, where are you originally from, and where all have you lived, and most importantly, where are you living at right now?
I was born and raised in Vandergrift, Pennsylvania, which is about 40 minutes from Pittsburgh. And I lived there my whole life, went to school in Pittsburgh, got my master's degree and my bachelor's degree at CMU. After I got married and had both my kids, my then husband got a job out of state, so we moved to Beaver Creek, Ohio, which is really close to Wright-Patt Air Force Base, and then to Macomb, Michigan, then Ooh. Back to Beaver Creek, and then to Arkansas, Fayetteville, Arkansas, and that's where I am right now.
Fantastic.
Wow, Macomb was close to my neck of the woods back in the day.
Yeah. Not too far from me. I mean, it's, you know, 90 minutes away, but.
Yeah. So what kind of kid were you growing up, Stacy? I mean, were you into reading and writing from an early age, or were, you know, you out, you know, looting cars, or what kind of stuff that kept you interested?
I would think I was born with a book in my hand, except I know that's not possible, but I always loved to read. I was always doing more of the arty things. Like I would sketch or whatever I could get my hands on that was a creative outlet. And my parents encouraged it. My mom and dad would read to me from, you know, as early as I can remember, and I'm sure before that. My sister and brother, they're 9 and 8 years older than me. If my parents couldn't get me to the library on a given weekend, my sister would take me. I'd come home with as many books as they'd let me have, and I'd read them all until they were practically memorized, take them back, and do it all again the next week. So, you know, it's kind of in my blood, I guess.
Wow. Do you recall, like, when you were young, any particular stories or books or anything that stood out to you or made you really notice that there's more going on here?
Well, I mean, my earliest books, and I still have some of them that I intend to read to my granddaughter, they
nice.
Were fairy tales. They were the little golden books. I loved the little puppy. I loved the little red hen. You know, books that kind of told a story that had a moral. And I still have a lot of them.
Oh,
and then
that's
there was
terrific.
Dr. Seuss. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Reading's important. And I did that with my kids. I read these books to my kids. And I'm going to read them to my granddaughter and any other grandchild that comes along.
What a great way to connect. I remember for me, I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And I noticed, there's more going on here than just a story. There's literary stuff happening here and hidden meanings and this represents that and all that. And that's when I really started to realize there's more than just a story in a good, well-told story.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
I think the
cool.
first book like that, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I think the first book like that for me was Caddy Woodlawn, just the history involved with it in addition to her personal story. that was the one that kind of got me down that path. And then I read all of the Little House on the Prairie books. And then I got into mysteries. I was reading a lot of Trixie Belden. I think my parents bought me like 35 of them before.
Trixie Belden. They were little. I haven't heard that name in ages.
Yeah. My sister was a Nancy Drew and a Hardy Boys reader, but I was Trixie Belden. And my parents had like the entire bookshelf just filled with, I think I had 35 of them before I stopped reading them and moved on to a little bit higher grade work.
Yeah, I think the first book that really grabbed me, and it was like the first book I ever checked out of the library. This is first grade, kindergarten, that you could go to the library and they would read to you, but they wouldn't let you check books out. First grade, we got to check books out. And the first book I ever checked out, I remember checking it out, and I read it, I can't tell you how many times. It was Where the Wild Things Are.
Ooh.
And it was just Maurice Sendak.
My son loved that book when he was a kid.
That grabbed my attention, and I loved everything about it.
It's an awesome story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we never really went into expecting to publish children's books at Fresh Ink Group either, and it turns out we've already done, 9 or 10 of them, something like that.
Yeah.
We got more in the works, too. And it's
great.
Kind of reminds, children's books are important. They are very important.
They are.
They're what introduce young people to the very idea of reading and the worlds that are in there. And if you catch them at the right age with the right story and just get that little click in there, then you can hook somebody for life, and that's one of the great things you can accomplish. So you reading to your grandkids, Stacy, and having read to your kids like that, kudos to you. Not enough people do that, in my opinion.
Indeed, yeah. I want to throw this in here. This is a quick little thing from Verwine Greenhow talking about Keweenaw Peninsula. He said, I've been at the northernmost tip of the Keweenaw in November. It's not always a nice place to be. Yeah, that's like Alaska up there, only not quite as warm.
Yeah, where it snows in August. We got a couple more comments, too. Marlena Smith-Burris says, I didn't realize you live in Arkansas, Stacy. We have family there, not far from Fayetteville. I think that might have been a blip on the audio or something like that. You didn't say Arkansas, did you, Stacy?
Yes, that's where she's at now.
I said Arkansas.
You said Arkansas?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where she's living now.
That's right where it cut out, because I was cutting in and out for a minute there. And then Jan Sykes says, I am right there with you about reading, Stacy. I loved Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. I read all of them.
Joe Conjo
says,
I love
the mysteries too, Jan.
Yeah. Joe Conjo says, hi, Stacy. I was looking at your Amazon page, and The Haunting of Chatham Hollow caught my interest, so I just downloaded it. Looking at all the different books
thanks.
You've written got me wondering, what is your favorite genre to write in?
Ooh. Ooh.
Cool.
That's a tough one for a multi-genre author.
Yeah. No.
I'm going to say that everything I write has an element of mystery or suspense in it, except for maybe a few sweet romances. So I'm going to stick with mystery or suspense, but it's like asking me to pick a favorite kid. That's a hard one.
Yeah. Well, we've got another question from Jill Mayer. She says, Stacy, how long did you live in Beaver Creek? I was born at Wright Pat. Grew up on the west side of Dayton and attended Wright State University. I lived there from 57 to 82.
That's wonderful. The first time I lived in Beaver Creek, I think we were there for about 5 years, and the second time, four? Gee, that's so long ago. I'm going to say all told probably around 9 years, but it was split up with Michigan in the middle.
Hmm.
Right past awesome.
Cool. Small world.
Yeah.
So,
I've got family, or my family, and my dad's side of the family, they lived in Arkansas. I mean, that's where they came from. They came up from Arkansas to Michigan way back in the 1940s, I believe it was. But they always had family down there, went down and visited them a few times. And my dad ended up moving down there before he passed away. After he retired, he moved down there. That's where he was living when he passed away. But that was up in the Ozarks, a little place called Marked Tree, Arkansas. Just a little blip on the map.
I'm not familiar with that. If you ever
up
have to
mountains.
Be down this way, happy to have coffee with you. Same with Marlene.
Right.
Next time she's visiting family, I want to get together.
There you go.
Yeah, or,
cool.
Or, you know, Marlene is less than an hour from me here in Alabama, too. So if you're ever hitting Alabama, you could go on tour down here.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So, Bame, why don't we roll another commercial here? And we got lots more questions for Stacy. And we want to encourage people to call in. If you want to talk to Stacy, hurl accusations, dredge up old, whatever you want to do, the number is 516-453-9902. Call in and give us a talk. Now, this commercial.
I understand she's paying off all of her old debts tonight, too, so if she owes you something, give us a call.
All right. Now, this commercial will be in honor of Stacy Discovers the AME Church, having landed in the top five twice and staying there for the last couple of weeks.
All right.
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret Stanton. My grandmother, Big Mama, calls me Sassy. I've been a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church all my life. And I wonder why everyone was so proud to be AME. Then I meet Gerald in Children's Church. He thinks he knows everything about being AME. I have to learn a lot more just to show him. B.A. Johnson has written a book about me, my brother, and my friends with lots of colorful drawings. We also explore bullying, friendship, inclusion, death, grief, forgiveness, and more. Sassy discovers that AME Church is published by Fresh Ink Group in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Available worldwide. Come on, join me and discover why I can say I'm proud to be AME.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so Stacy, let's touch base a little bit on your family. I know you're Italian. You got a new granddaughter. So what's going on there?
Well, I could brag about my granddaughter for a really long time. Be careful what you wish for.
And you have the right to do that. I've seen the pictures.
Thanks. You know what? She is amazing. My daughter was telling me something about COVID babies seeming to be more advanced in all of the development areas. I don't know if that's true or not, but my granddaughter's 9 months old. She is walking. She is 99th percentile in height, 98th in weight. She is 4 months plus ahead in all of her developmental skills. The doctor just told my daughter, she said, well, somebody has to lead the pack. I don't know what to tell you. She's amazing.
Yeah,
and I get
her
for Christmas. I can't wait.
Oh, it's Christmas.
Fantastic.
Cool.
Fantastic.
So,
yeah.
So what about your animals?
I have three amazing dogs.
Dogs.
The first two are dogs. Yeah.
Dogs.
All labs. All labs. They're all technically golden labs, but they range in color from white to tan to red. Casey's 12, Max is 11, and Lucky is 3, and they're just the sweetest things. They keep me company all day. I just love them to death.
Oh, dogs are about as loyal as you can get. So
now
these ones especially.
Go ahead, Beam.
I was going to say, now, also know from talking to you in the past, you're Italian, you're proud of your Italian roots. Do you like to do Italian cooking? And if so, what are some of the things you like to cook?
I love Italian food. Oh, when you come to visit, I'll make something for you. Just tell me what you want.
All right.
I do. I like to cook. I love to bake. You know, we have a lot of Italian recipes that have been passed down from my grandmother to my mother to me and several generations of great-grandmothers back. I started putting a lot of recipes on my website because, you know, my daughter would call and say, hey, how do you make this? Some of their friends would call me and say, I really liked that when you made it for me at your house. Can you tell me how you did that? So I started putting the recipes on my website so I could just refer them to a link. But there's a disclaimer on my website that says, if the measurements are a little off or estimated, please forgive me, because Italians don't measure. We just throw stuff in until it looks right. But I think I did okay. But yeah, I love to cook. When I was growing up, we had pasta at least 3 times a week, and we always made our own sauce. We don't buy it. So I'm definitely a pasta junkie. That's probably my favorite.
Oh, cool.
I love good pasta.
Now, when you're not playing with your granddaughter, cooking, baking, and playing with the dogs or whatever, or writing, you also do some editing, formatting, covers, things like that. Tell us about that.
Yeah. When my then husband got a job out of state and we moved away from Pennsylvania, the deal was that if I agreed to make that move with him, I would stay home with the kids. And since I wasn't working in an office anymore, I still wanted to stay connected to my vocation because I love writing. I love reading. That's what I do. So I became a freelance editor and a freelance writer. And my first clients were more freelance writing than editing because former employers would call me and I would pick up the slack for whatever they needed to have written. So I started doing that, and then I was helping to edit book reviews for a newspaper. And then when we moved to Arkansas, I knew that I really wanted to start focusing on fiction, so I started studying it a lot more than I had from just in college. And instead of reading a novel for enjoyment, I started to analyze it. Not exactly the way you do in college for like a literary class, but I was analyzing, you know, the structure and the dialogue and the pacing. And from there, I joined a writer's group, and one of the people who is more of a mentor in the group than a contributor, he had a publishing company, and I ended up editing for him. And then from there, another publisher joined that group, and he had a bigger press than the first one. He snapped me up to do some editing for him. Then I ended up doing marketing for him as well, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And now I have editing clients, and I mean, I've been formatting since college when we were using PageMaker on desktop publishing things.
Oh, God, I remember that.
Yeah. So formatting's kind of second nature. And quite honestly, my sister did a lot of the formatting for me in if it was a print book, because she does that for a living too. And I was busy doing other things. But when May and I released Chatham Hollow, I just did that myself because I know how to do it. And I figured, well, I might as well just add that to my list of services because I can do it. And if it's an indie title, I've done the covers myself. So I've had a few people message me and say, hey, can you do a cover for me? Which surprised me because I never really advertised that. But I guess they like the covers I did for myself well enough to ask me to do that for them. So I added that to my list.
Yes, and your covers are fantastic. We highly endorse them. And
yes,
when we get to the end of the interview, we're going to ask you about how people can contact you and find you or whatever. So listeners, you're going to want to pay attention to that if you're interested in talking to Stacey about editing or covers or formatting or whatever. We highly endorse her work. She knows what she's doing. And speaking of knowing what she's doing, we're going to play another commercial now. And when we come back from the commercial, Stacey, we're going to ask you about this commercial.
Okay.
Hey, writers, readers, bloggers, poets, editors, journalists, bookmarketers, you need to check out the free resource at storyempire.com. Yes, Story Empire is a dozen industry experts posting free how-to advice, tips, insider secrets, and more 3 times a week. Read the ones that fit you and share the rest with your writer friends. That's storyempire.com. It's free, so subscribe now.
All right, brand spanking new.
Love it.
So, you heard of this Story Empire, Stacey?
Yeah, I might have heard of it a time or two.
Might have been there from the very beginning, huh?
Yeah, I kind of was.
So that was the short version. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Back in the day, gosh, I feel so old. It's been several years. Joan Hall and I were members of an online writers group together, and we were trying to get a writing advice fight started. And we had a great group of people with us, but we just could not get this thing off the ground. Around the same time, May Claire and Craig Boyack were coming to the same conclusions. They wanted to do something that would help with promo and help network authors. And May approached me and she said, you know, I'm trying to get this together and I thought you'd be a good fit. And I said, do you have a name for this yet? And she said, no. And I said, well, I've already registered this name with another group, but we fell apart. We can't get it off the ground. You can have the name if you want. And she said, absolutely, I like it. So we made sure everybody else who was in the inaugural group, gee, I butchered that word, but in the initial group didn't have a problem with the name and everybody liked it. So we got it started, designed the website, started thinking of topics to post about, and it's grown. I think our initial group was, I want to say there were five of us, and now we're approaching a dozen, so it's going well. And 1 year we even won a blogging award on it, so it's been great. It's really rewarding being able to talk to people on all different facets of their publishing journey. There are people who comment on our posts that say, I'm just starting out. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. This post was so helpful. It's giving me something to sink my teeth into. And then there are people who are best-selling authors who comment on that same post and say, gee, never really thought about it like that, but that's a great point. And there are other people who say, well, I disagree, and here's why. And that starts a fabulous discussion. So it's not, it is instructional, but it's not, we don't believe there are rules. We believe there are norms and there are things that people are comfortable with. But it's just a great resource for anybody on their writing journey. And it's been really wonderful getting to meet so many people through the comments.
Yeah, you know, the comments are exceptional because you write a piece about, you know, a certain way to do something, and somebody else will come in and say, well, that's cool, but I do it like this. And
yep.
You got, you know, the person that wrote that post will be saying, I never thought about doing it that way. I'm going to try that. So it's a learning experience for everybody involved, I think.
Exactly. And it's been really rewarding, too, I think. Not only our readers, but all of us who contribute. You know, we talk all the time in our private Slack channels about how great a certain post had performed that day and how it has us thinking a different way. And I really enjoy being able to give back, but I also enjoy being able to learn. I think you're always learning. I know I'm always learning. I strive to always learn. And I do with this group of people.
Yeah, that, at Fresh Ink Group, we're proud of the fact that one of your members is our Beam Weeks, the co-host of this show as well. And these posts are coming out from all of you three times a week. And yesterday's post, what was the topic yesterday, Beam?
No, today's post. It's
today's
book
post.
Trailers. Book trailers.
Yeah, it's a post by Beam
it?
Weeks.
Are they worth the effort? And I think they are. And get over there and read that. Storyempire.com.
Yeah, so I've become a subscriber, and I understand you're going to be introducing a new member in January. I'm eager to learn who that is because I'm a big fan of everybody in that group.
We are introducing a new member in January, and we can't wait. We're probably more excited than this person is, so it'll be fun to announce.
So you've told us that you were writing from the very beginning. In fact, when we talked a couple of days ago, you said pretty much since you could hold a pen in your hand.
Yeah.
Is there an evolution to that? I mean, you mentioned going from kind of genre to genre. Were there periods where you got frustrated and backed off, or where you tried to do something different, or, you know, what was the progress from just deciding you wanted to write to being a successful published author?
Well, I decided I wanted to do it very early, but I didn't get to it until I moved to Arkansas, which was pretty late in my life. But my journey was a lot different than most people's, and I'll walk you through how that is. most people start writing a novel on their own. This is my story. These are my characters. This is my plot. This is what I'm hoping to accomplish in my book. The first novel that I published was actually in answer to an ad by a publisher who wanted novels created for a shared world. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. If they give me the characters and give me the plot and give me the setting and I just have to fill in the blanks, that'll be a nice practice for when I start writing the novels that I want to write. I was wrong, which just goes to show you when you're brand new, there's so much you don't know. So the first thing I had to do was submit a synopsis and an outline. Well, I submitted the synopsis, and they loved it. They said, send us an outline. I sent them an outline. They never changed a word, by the way. They accepted the premise, the synopsis, the outline. They loved it all. I started drafting my book. There were four authors in front of me, I believe. I think I was the fifth book. And I read cozy mysteries. I understand the genre, but like I said, I was a brand new writer. I didn't know the subtle nuances yet. And I had made my plot pretty complex, and I had some heavy themes. And I was calling it daddy issues because I had a lot of father-child dynamics in all different permutations you could think of. I was probably 3/4 of the way through the book, and the publisher contacts me and says, hey, you got to change what you're doing because the person before you killed off your main character's dad.
Oh.
And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Did they not have to send a synopsis? Did you not see this coming? So I had to scramble to get it all done, and it was an absolute nightmare. And every time I look at that book, I see all the problems with it. And it was my first novel, so we all know there were going to be a lot of problems anyway, but this one was compounded. And I thought, I'm never doing this again, which I did, not for them, but I did do shared worlds with other people. But while that headache was going on, I had gone to a writer's conference, and we were allowed to submit first chapters to agents. And one of the agents approached me afterward and said, I want to sign you. And I said, okay. And I had all of these delusions of grandeur that New York was going to snap me up and I was going to be the next Nora Roberts and, hey, pat myself on the back because I made it. I did not make it. I was working with this agent and I gave her my first, it was a paranormal romance. And it was the one I talked to you guys about that was based on my grandfather's story. And, I gave it to her, and she loved it, and she started submitting it. I started working on part two of the series. I was about halfway through that when she said to me, every place I'm submitting it says they have too many paranormal romances. I need you to write something in another genre. I said, what genre? She said, I don't care. Just write something else and give it to me because I can sell you, but I can't sell this romance. Okay. So Type and Cross was born. And I gave that to her, and then I never heard from her again. And, you know, I would text her on occasion or email her and be like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, oh, we're not really getting anything. We've got a few rejection letters, but it's been kind of crickets. And to me, that doesn't sound like a good way for an agent and writer to work together. So I politely asked for my stuff back, and we parted ways, and I was going to go indie at that point, but then I found a small press that was interested in both series. So I finished both of them and published both series with them, and you know, the rest is kind of history.
Boy, you notice, Beam, every author we interview has a cautionary tale as well.
Yeah.
And we've all got them. We've been down those roads. We got a bunch of activity going on Twitter here. Marlena Smith Burris says, I second the Italian cooking. Teach me all things, Stacy.
When we visit, you're welcome to my kitchen.
Yeah, well, the next one is from Jan Sykes saying, Stacy, we have to plan a road trip to come and visit. Right, Joan Hall, right?
Absolutely.
What she had after that, Beam?
She said, I love the book cover for Chatham Hollow. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank you.
Joe Conjo, he says, I agree, Stacy. Italian food is the best, and I hope I get to pronounce this right. I so miss my grandmother's bracioli.
Bracioli,
okay.
Yeah, it's rolled steak cooked in sauce.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I love
Ooh.
Steak. I had steak
Man.
For dinner tonight. Steak on
I
the grill.
I got to quit doing these podcasts hungry. This is getting to me. Jan Sykes also added, thank you, Beam and Steven. That was a great shout-out for Story Empire. I love it. Jan Sykes is a member of Story Empire, too. She knows her stuff. And then you got, I see another one. See another one from Marlena. You got that, Beam?
Yeah. Marlena says, Story Empire is an incredible tool. One of my favorite things, though, is it's a compilation of many of my favorite writers all in one place. It's like a big family.
Oh, how nice.
Aww,
thank you, Marlena.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
It is a big family.
Yeah. Now, we're going to want to talk about your books, Stacy. So let's knock out one more commercial here, Beam, so that we don't have to interrupt her anymore.
All righty.
Now, from science fiction master Robert G. Williscroft, the Oort Federation, to the stars, the second Oort Chronicle. As the Oort Federation becomes a major force in the solar system, Braxton Thorpe passes the Federation chairmanship to former U.S. President John Butler. Thorpe's group offers humanity virtual immortality, but Isidore Orlov and his Udakhni Enterprises oppose their every move. While Thorpe's group terraforms Mars for more living space, the Mars Reds prove formidable as resistors. If the Asterian Starship fighter pilots are released, will they align with Phoenix or Udakhni? And who will develop the right FTL technology? In this tense space adventure, Thorpe, his team, and Max the Tabby Cat travel to Proxima Centauri and beyond to the Aster system, 84 light years distant. Will Thorpe bring together humans and Asterians in their quest for intergalactic travel? Will long life prove more than mere humans can handle? Grab Icicle, a Tensor Matrix, the first Oort Chronicle, and continue the journey with the Oort Federation to the stars. Proudly published in all print, digital, and sensory-enhanced audiobooks by Fresh Ink Group.
You're listening to the Voice of Indie podcast, a production of independent multimedia publisher, Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah. At the end of that, that was Trenton Bennett, who did the voicing for the audiobook for the Oort Federation. And in fact, he's been doing all of Robert Williscroft's series audiobooks. That one's a lot of fun. We had to try to come up with sounds for space weapons. And wait a minute, is this the sound of the spaceship docking or taking off and all that, too? So we filled it up with cool sounds. Get over there and check out that audiobook.
Yeah.
And get yourself a print to read along while you're listening.
Yeah, and I'm just getting ready to actually I've already started the latest, Operation Whiteout. And that's got all the little sound effects going into it as well. So that'll be out in due time.
Yeah, now that's a different series. That's the Mac McDowell Mission series,
yeah,
which is Cold War Submarine Thrillers. And this is the fourth
which
book
is,
in that series
yeah.
as
it's
well.
The same
with all
author,
the submarine
the same,
sounds. Yep.
Same voiceover guy.
Yep.
Different series. But a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So, Stacy, you have three series, and then we're going to ask you about your current work with May. But first, let's talk about the three series. The Cathedral Lake series has three books in it. It's Family and Suspense. Give us the pitch on that. Tell us why that's something that we'd want to read.
That was the second book that my agent had asked me to write. And the idea came to me because somebody I was close to at the time had had blood work done. And when his results came back, his blood type was wrong. And his father didn't like that. He thought maybe something was amiss. And it caused a lot of family strife until the blood bank called this person back and said, we put the wrong blood type on your test, but everything else is fine. And then everybody calmed down. But in the meantime, I had started doing a lot of research into how different blood types mingled to produce a different blood type. And that research yielded some interesting things that I thought would make a good book. So it was just going to be mainstream family drama, but I always like to put some suspense or mystery in it. So there's a bit of a mystery that needs to be solved by the end. And when I was working with the agent, she was like, well, you know, series are better than single titles. So I had, there were two kids involved. So I thought, well, I'll build the series out. I'd kind of like to know what happened to the kids too. So that's how Cathedral Lake came to be. And then,
okay.
Go ahead.
You got the Medici Protectorate. There's four books in that one.
There's four books in that one. That was one I was telling you kind of came about from my grandfather. When I was young, he used to tell me stories of his family that I hadn't really met any of his family. His dad died when he was 14. So I didn't know him, and his mother had already passed, although, you know, she had been an adult, I think I was one when she died, but I didn't really remember her. So he would tell me a lot of stories about his family. And the one that always stuck with me was that he told me his father was the illegitimate son of nobility. And when I was young, I didn't really know what illegitimate meant, but I was really struck by this thought that I had nobility in my family. And it sort of felt like a version of Cinderella, because I grew up in a very humble middle-class family. You know, we weren't wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, but it was kind of nice knowing that out there somewhere there was somebody with wealth and power and prestige. Well, I grew up and realized that wasn't the case, but the kernel of that stuck with me. And I was talking to my kids about my grandfather and his father and so on, and they also thought that would make a really good story. Well, at the time, my son was a second-degree black belt. My daughter was a first degree, and they were probably practicing 4 or 5 times a week. And they said, but you have to add fighting into it. And so what was, once again, just going to be this family drama turned into these warriors and people descended from nobility. And I thought, well, if I'm doing nobility, I'm going Medici, because that's nobility in Italy. And it kind of spiraled from there. And I was working in, you know, the elements, earth, wind, fire, water. And each one is named heart, mind, soul, or body. So I had that all tied in. And there are these rituals that bestowed powers on them. I mean, it really took on a life of its own. But it all started from a story from my grandfather.
Cool. So your next series then, Keystone Couple, and those are shorter. Those are 3 novellas. And
yeah.
What's the genre for that?
Just clean, sweet romance.
Well, tell us about it.
I wanted to do something that paid homage to Pennsylvania. And, you know, a lot of my stuff is set in Pennsylvania, but I usually make up the cities. This time I didn't. I referred to Pittsburgh as Pittsburgh and Erie as Erie. And, I've kind of gotten away from the romance genre. It just doesn't appeal to me like the mysteries do. But I had one of them pretty much completed on my hard drive and another one outlined. And I thought, well, I might as well just make it a trilogy and finish them off, because they're just sitting there unused, and why not use them? And, they also kind of took on a life of their own. When I write series, I tend to, whatever characters are in book one, I want to mention them or revisit them in book two, and the same for both books in book three, because once you become friends with these characters, you don't just want to give them up. You want to keep revisiting them. So each one got a little bit longer, and they got a little more complex and richer, because the world was just getting bigger and more full. But they're very sweet, clean romances, fast reads, happily ever after endings.
Yeah.
All set in Western PA.
Yeah, I read No Such Luck from that series, and it was a 5-star read for me, and I look forward to reading the other ones. But I mean, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, clean but interesting, and you've got these great, fully formed, well-formed characters and excellent plots, and a lot of fun to read.
Thank you. Appreciate
that. Now, all of these series, where can people find them? They're on major retailers. Are they e-books, print books? What's out there?
Keystone is just e-books because they were novellas. I didn't want to do print books with that. The others are print and e-books, and they're definitely on Amazon. Some might be exclusive to Amazon. I know right now Chatham Hollow is just exclusive to Amazon. Some of the other ones are retailers all over.
Well, Chatham Hollow, why don't you tell us about that? That's the one you co-authored?
Yeah, May and I, we were in Slack, in our Story Empire Slack channel one day. Everybody was talking, and somebody made an offhand comment about May and I having, I don't remember if it was similar plots, or our voices aren't the same, but I guess maybe we have a similar style. And they said, oh, you'd make an excellent co-author. And we were like, yeah, we would. And just sort of laughed and didn't really think anything of it. But then we dropped into the private conversation area of Slack, and we're like, what do you think? Well, I'm game if you're game. And so we started kicking around ideas and developed the plot from there. We didn't tell anyone. The only person who knew was Joan, and that's because we begged her, and she was happy to agree, thank God, to be our critique partner on that and kind of keep us in check. And, oh, my gosh, it's so good that we did. Because we changed names in this thing so many times that it was impossible to keep track of. And it's a big book because it's dual timelines, and we each wrote a decent-sized novel on our own timelines. When you put them together, that's a lot of pages. And Joan was amazing at keeping track of everything, and I couldn't ask for a better partner in May. She was amazing from story conception through final edits.
So what is it about?
Back in the 1700s, a man was on his deathbed, and he had founded the town of Chatham Hollow, and he was kind of a miser, and he died with a curse on his lips. And so everybody believes this town is cursed. In the 1880s, which was May's timeline, there are mediums in town. One is well-respected, and one is a charlatan. And he comes to town hoping to get rich off of supposed curse. And then in my timeline, which was the present day, they're having a reenactment of a fateful seance that was conducted by that medium. And it all kind of blows up in the town's face.
Well, that sounds cool. Yeah, I like the dual timeline,
right.
Dual voices. Yeah, that sounds like a great way to work.
Our biggest concern was making – oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say our biggest concern was making sure that it didn't sound like two different people writing two different things, but comments have been largely favorable that it was seamless. So I think we pulled it off.
And Joan Hall was such a big help, too. That sounds terrific.
Yeah, speaking of Joan, she is out on Twitter, and she says, Stacy, Jan, and I expect homemade Italian when we visit.
Done. I can do that.
And then she also said, I loved the Cathedral Lake series.
Thank you.
And then there's a couple more. Jan Sykes says, I love the Keystone Couple series. They have a little of everything, including some great humorous moments. And Verlaine Greenho, he had someone stop in, so he said he's got to step away. But he says, thanks, Stacy, for your time, and thanks to Stephen and I for producing such a great show. Well, thanks for always being there, Verlaine.
Yeah, it's easy when you have Stacy. So, Stacy, you've had some interaction with fans over the years. Is there anything that stands out to you as poignant, somebody you've met or talked to or a letter you've gotten or anything?
There have been a few along the way, but most recently I received an email from someone who said that, I don't want to say who it was because I think a lot of your listeners would know, but they said that they could see, I believe the word was footprints, they could see my footprints in the haunting of Chatham Hollow. And this person was talking about the strength of my dialogue and the way I put everything together. And I wish you guys could see the letter because it was really touching and really humbling, and it really validated my efforts. So it meant a lot to me that this person took the time to reach out, particularly given at the end of the letter it stated that this person has only ever written a few letters over the course of all of the reading that's been done. So that meant a lot to me.
Wow. Fantastic. That's wonderful. So do you have advice for authors out there?
We talked about that the other day, and you pointed out that I had good advice, and I don't even remember what it was now. I always hate to give advice about writing because I think everybody's process is different, and you pointed out to me that that actually was good advice, and here's why. If everybody's process is different, you can try to emulate what they do, but if it doesn't work for you, don't stick with it. It's beating your head off a wall. So, you know, take the good, omit the bad, practice, see what works for you, stick with the good, forget the rest. There really are no rules. There's just what works for you. I personally am an outliner. I cannot work without an outline. I get
Yay!
But I know people who swear by pantsing. And the funny thing is, May and I are very different. I am an outliner. She calls herself a planter, but she really doesn't start with anything more than an idea of where she wants to go and hitting a few highlights. And I was worried that we weren't going to work well together because of that, but I kind of got her a little more towards outlining. She kind of let me loosen the reins a little bit, and it was a great mix. So I guess my other point of advice would be, once you find something that works for you, stick with it, but be willing to keep experimenting because you might find there's a little bit more that can tweak your process and make you even better.
Turned out you had great advice after all.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's great, but it's advice.
I second all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Stacy, how can readers and listeners find you on social media? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram?
How can they contact you?
My website is stacytroilo.com. It's Stacy with an I. Troilo has the word oil in the middle. There's a link to my blog there. There's a link to my services like editing and stuff like that on there. My blog is on there, newsletter, book club, Amazon, Goodreads, Vocal Media. That's all on there. My Twitter handle is at Stacy Troilo. Instagram is at Stacy Troilo. Facebook is author Stacy Troilo, but all of those links, including an email, that you can find it all on my website.
All right.
Wow. Tracy, Stacy, it's been, I called you Tracy. Stacy, it's been a thrill having you on here. We've learned a lot. I've got some new books to add to my list now, and you got me hungry. I mean, what more can a writer accomplish in a podcast interview, right?
Sorry about the hunger, but it
That's
really
all
has
right.
been a pleasure to be here tonight. Thank you.
So next week, we've got Linda Mims, an author that we've known for many, many years, and she's putting her first classic novel out again this month. So we're looking forward to having her on to talk about that and some of her other work. And what's happening after that, Beam?
After that, we've got a replay of Jerry Pate episode. Jerry is the author of the Submariner book that we talk an awful lot about, that's selling like hotcakes, as the kids would say.
But
Jerry, he's going to be the repeat because we're going to be out of town. So you're going to want to tune in for this if you missed it the first time around. Exceptional guest. The guy's got stories galore.
Yeah, and especially if you know anybody, old submariners or Navy people or military people or people who are fascinated with, you know, the space program, any of that kind of stuff. He's just full of stories, and that's a great episode. After that, we're going to go back live again, and we're going to have Canadian author Tom Stewart. He's going to be in telling us about his latest work. And what's happening after that?
After that, we got Mr. Lindquist. He is
Kenneth
the one
Lindquist.
Who wrote. Yeah, Kenneth Lindquist. He's the one who wrote the Teaching Driver's Ed books. It's their instruction manuals for instructors and for parents on teaching kids how to drive. Just not just kids, anybody who's first learning how to drive to be safe drivers. And this is something that's completely different from anything we've had on before. So this will be kind of cool.
Yeah, and then we're going to get musical before the holidays, because on December 21st, we're welcoming back Wide Track, the Tippins, Ron and his son Zach, and they're some of our favorite indie musicians. They're out there working it, putting together music, recording albums, playing live shows, and marketing and promoting, and we like to help them do that. We appreciate them being friends of the show. So Wide Track, December 21st, we'll call that your Christmas episode.
Yeah.
And then between
got
the holidays,
a brand new album out. They just released a new album too. So get over to Twitter and look for @WideTrackBand, and you'll find links to their music, to their videos, and you get a vibe for how they are, and tune in for that episode. And after that, we've got another replay, because it's between Christmas and New Year's. So the replay is going to be Mark Herndon and Leah Seawright coming back. It's the replay, but it's a fun conversation. We had a bunch of callers that night calling from all over the United States and Canada. We had a Canadian caller that night. So tune in for that.
Yeah, and we had scheduled this before learning last night about Mark being slated to receive that South Carolina Music Hall of Fame induction and Lifetime Achievement Awards. So we timed that pretty well. There should be a lot of interest stirred up in Mark and his work that month. And then after that, I'm going to have shoulder surgery on the 29th. And then, so that's my New Year's Eve plans, sitting home and nursing my shoulder. And then we're looking forward to 2023 and a whole bunch of new shows coming after that.
Yeah.
So, Stacey, it's been a thrill having you. It's just, this is very
The honor
cool.
was mine. Thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate it, guys.
All right. Yeah, and listen, Stacey, when you get done here, you might want to go over to Twitter, because there's a whole bunch more of these comments. And it just go to hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and you can go back and answer these. Robert Williscroft, he said, don't quit. I'm guessing that's his advice to other writers. Don't quit.
And we got more comments here. Go check them out, Stacey. And everybody, thanks for participating. We really like it when you get on Twitter, use that hashtag, give us something to talk about. And
Twitter audience, and you guys brought it tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, you brought it tonight. And Stacey, you brought it too. So thanks again. We'll see everybody next week.
All right.
Thanks.
See you next week, everybody. Take care.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com, and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.